Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll discover one of the state's largest yellow ribbon companies, and we'll find out why Croatia's entrance into the European Union may be thanks to its Minnesota connection. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
From the halls of Montezuma to the mountains of Afghanistan, United States Marines have served valiantly in our nation's conflicts. Marines, past and present, have earned their place within its proud culture of traditions, symbols, and values. On November 10th, the Marines celebrate their 238th birthday. The date was established as Marine Corps' holiday in 1921 and carries many traditions. Marines around the world will celebrate with the reading of a birthday message from the Commandant, the cutting of a birthday cake by the commanding officer, and a presentation of the first and second pieces of cake to the oldest and youngest Marines present. Marines have fought, lived, and died with honor, and continue the Marine Corps legacy of service to our nation. Semper Fidelis became the Marine Corps' motto in 1883. It guides Marines to remain faithful to their mission at hand, to each other, to the Corps, and to country, no matter what. Once a Marine, always a Marine, they say. Congratulations on the proud tradition of the United States Marines.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now from the Minnesota National Guard is Lieutenant Colonel Guy Konitzko. Colonel, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
Colonel, could you share with our listeners a little bit about your background? How long have you been in the military?
I'll have 26 years this coming June, and that's when I'm planning to retire. I started 4 years active duty, started in the 82nd Airborne Division, got levied to Korea, came back from Korea right back to the 82nd, and then joined the Minnesota National Guard from Fort Bragg.
And I understand you were deployed to Afghanistan?
I was. In 2005, I left for Afghanistan as an embedded trainer to the Afghan Army. I have lots of stories about that experience. But my favorite one is just coming home on leave, and my daughter, who had at the time was 2 when I left, and it had been 10 months since I saw her, didn't know who I was.
Oh, no.
And so we're in the small St. Cloud Airport, and there isn't a dry eye in the place. Everybody's crying. My wife starts crying, and everybody there knows that it's a soldier coming home. And my daughter's pushing me away because I'm the guy making her mom cry. So it's important for us to tell those stories so people, when they come up and thank us, know why they're thanking us, and that's part of it.
It'd be hard to understand that from a distance, wouldn't it?
It really would.
How was being embedded with the Afghan Army? Were you there for a year, or how long was it?
That was a year on the ground, so we spent 12 months on the ground. I came in February and left in February of 06, so 1 year time on ground, and it was a different experience. I was fortunate enough to be attached to 331 and 336 Special Forces and do missions with them up until the time where one of our Americans wasn't getting along with the French, and then I got tagged to go solve our problems with the French. And the colonel, I was a major at the time, the colonel that came up to me and said, we need you to go out to Spinbuldak, which is way out in the countryside along the Pakistani border, to solve our problems with the French. And I looked at him and I said, I'm sorry, sir, we haven't solved our problems with the French in over 250 years. I don't know what you're going to do in the next 30 days. He said, well, please go out there and do it.
Send one major to go clean it up.
Yeah, and we did. I had a very frank conversation with the French colonel that was running the installation, and right after that we got along famously, and they've even stayed at my house since that time. They've so come with their family and stayed at the house.
Turned out pretty well. Now, was that an individual deployment, or did you go as part of a unit?
I went part of a embedded training team from Minnesota, so there were, I think, 16 of us. It was previous to the omelets. It's the embedded training teams turned into the omelets later, and those were combined deployments with the Croatian Armed Forces.
And that's part of the state partnership program, which we're going to talk about in the second segment.
Correct, sir.
Colonel, I understand now you are the Minnesota National Guard's International Affairs Officer.
Yes.
That's a long title. It sounds pretty good. What does that mean, sir?
Well, I'm hoping it helps get me a job after I'm retired. But for right now, it means that I deal with our partnerships. So the biggest one I deal with is our state partnership with Croatia. I'll deal with some of the Norwegian things that happen outside of the exchange, which is largely developed with Camp Ripley. And then I deal somewhat with our British and German exchange, and very rarely anymore do I deal with Canada.
We're speaking with the Minnesota National Guard's Lieutenant Colonel Guy Konitzko on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, has sequestration affected any of these partnerships that you just mentioned?
It's delayed some of the funding that we normally have, but it hasn't prevented them from happening. And the relationships are crucially important because it's dealing with what we call security cooperation. And every time we deal with something like the omelet, where we have half of the group going over is Croatian, that means half of the group going over is not American. So it helps save people money. It helps provide security throughout the region because of all the partnerships that are developed throughout Eastern Europe. Provides a blanket of safety or security to everyone that's involved.
And the omelet teams, as you talked about, is operational mentoring liaison teams to Afghanistan, where Minnesota National Guard troops and Croatian military team up together and have gone to Afghanistan six times, I think?
Six, correct. Yeah.
What is the partnership with Croatia all about?
Well, it started back when the Eastern Bloc, when the Soviet Union fell apart and the Eastern Bloc became free countries again. How do you deal with that? So we started out with Partnership for Peace exercises, and through those Partnership for Peace exercises where multiple militaries would come together and work together to solve communication problems and things like that, once you get past that, then what do? Well, the active duty wanted to mentor those brand new militaries, but Russia didn't feel comfortable with us doing that. So the best combination for everybody was National Guard units, states, partnering with former Eastern Bloc countries to improve that security cooperation that we talked about earlier.
So the National Guards from various states were assigned to these new countries that were forming and the new militaries and to get to know each other and start working together and quite a theory.
Yeah.
Is it working, sir?
It is. It very much is. We've gone from being partner in 1996 with Croatia to Croatia being part of NATO. Now, and that was in 2004, now being part of just this last year in 2013, July 1st, being part of the European Union. And part of that security cooperation is making sure, especially within NATO, that all of your equipment and all of your training is compatible with other nations that are in NATO. So we're all using, you all often hear the NATO round. We're all using the same types of rounds. So our weapon systems are supported logistically by the same stuff. And that makes it easier for all of us to work together, as well as our communication systems. And
Colonel, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit more about the state partnership program with Croatia.
Mm-hmm.
We've been speaking to Lieutenant Colonel Guy Konitzko from the Minnesota National Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting with the Minnesota National Guard's Lieutenant Colonel Guy Konitzko, who is the International Affairs Officer for the Minnesota National Guard. And, sir, we talked about your job as International Affairs Officer, and I want to get back to the state partnership program. But first, some months ago, we had on some members of the Norway military as part of the exchange program. Can you just tell us briefly what that's about?
Yeah, once a year. Norway is what we call a bilateral agreement. So once a year we get together, it's roughly 100, 110 soldiers and airmen from Norway come here, and then the same number from Minnesota National Guard go there. For the last, well, I think 40?
I think it was 40 years, yes.
They've been doing that in the wintertime for Arctic training. This next year in 2014 is the first time we're going to do it in the summertime. I don't remember the dates off the top of my head, but then they're not even going to go to the same camp that they traditionally have gone to in the past. They're going to go way up in northern Norway and work close, very close to the Russian border. So this is a big change for us.
And then the Norwegian military that come here is going to be up at Camp Ripley, and we'll put them through the training up there.
Yes. And we've got some great facilities up there with the urban training that we've added in the last 5-6 years. And so they've got state-of-the-art facilities that they wouldn't normally have in Norway.
We've had Colonel St. Sauer on the show several times, and to listen to him tell it's the best training facility in the world.
Yeah.
And I've been up there. It's a pretty good one.
He might be biased, but I do agree with him.
Well, maybe just a little. Colonel, you also said that as international affairs officer, you work a little bit with Canada, Germany, and the UK, United Kingdom. What all does that entail?
Well, with Canada, we have a relationship with one of the brigades, a Princess, Canadian Light Infantry up there, where we've matched that relationship now with the division headquarters. And so 34th Infantry Red Bull Division does most of the exchanges with Canada. So I don't get involved with that as much as I used to. The UK and German exchanges, generally every year we have the opportunity to send two of ours to Germany, two to England, and then we receive in kind the same number. And so then you get the opportunity to train with foreign countries on their procedures, techniques, tactics, and bring that information back to Minnesota. So you take the best practices from them and then incorporate them back here. It's a great opportunity for anybody to be able to take advantage of that opportunity.
Colonel, I would guess that you develop some relationships with each of those countries, and if it comes a time where you have to actually do a mission, having those relationships and those phone numbers and knowing how they do business is good for you, isn't it?
It's always easier to know who you're talking to than to develop that in the time in which you're deploying. So one of the things I think is great about our relationship with Croatia is that our soldiers and airmen get the opportunity to work with foreign nationals and non-English speaking through interpreters sometimes in which they would have to operate in times of war. The best training that you can do for that is during times of peace. So the quality of the experience is very important for us because we never go to war alone anymore. We always go as part of a coalition. So as you're building those coalitions, like what we talked about earlier, with all the different countries within NATO, as you're building those coalitions and you're looking to those NATO partners or other partners through the security cooperation to go toward into a conflict with you, you want to have worked with them previous. So this is a great opportunity for our soldiers to get that experience before they have to go do it for real.
Sure makes a lot of sense to me, sir. Now, the state partnership program, we talked about that a little bit. It's nationally, it's here in Minnesota, and it involves National Guard units in other states as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then it began in Minnesota at when, and what kind of training is involved for our troops and for the Croatian troops?
Well, it started in 1996, largely because we have a large population of Croatian folks in northern Minnesota. And then back during that time, former Governor Rudy Perpich has Croatian ties. So when all these relationships became available, Croatia became a natural fit for Minnesota. During that time, we did platoon exchanges, and we did that for several years where we just exchanged one platoon based off the model that we had with Norway. But in recent years, that's become cost prohibitive. So now we're really focusing down on what they need based off the country cooperation plan that the U.S. Embassy puts together in cooperation with the COCOM, European Command, and whatever areas that they think Croatia needs to focus on, either to meet their NATO force goals or to improve in areas that we may need in the future that we feel that they need to improve on, that's what the Minnesota National Guard focuses on. So right now we're focused on cyber, rotary wing support, and military support to civilian authorities.
We're speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Guy Konietzko, Minnesota National Guard's International Affairs Officer on Minnesota Military Radio. Colonel, it seems logical to me. You mentioned that as Croatia emerged as a country and they had a new military, one of the first things they had to do was prepare to be a member of NATO. And then beyond that, they wanted to be part of the European Union. So it seems to make sense to me that if they partner with the Minnesota National Guard and start that process, you must have been really instrumental in them qualifying to be a member of NATO.
Well, not me individually, but the state certainly right. was in all of our efforts to help them prepare for meeting NATO requirements. We were certainly a key portion of that.
So that's an evolving process with Croatia?
Correct. And even after they became part of NATO, they didn't necessarily meet all the requirements. So then that turns into what we call NATO force goals. And so we're still helping them meet some of the NATO force goals that they need to incorporate into NATO.
And from the Minnesota National Guard standpoint, other than developing those relationships and knowing who you're working with if you have to deploy, like on the OMLET teams, mm-hmm. what do our Minnesota National Guard troops get out of
Well, it's an incredible training. Experience. They get to meet a lot of our soldiers that may not have deployed or haven't been overseas. This may be their first overseas experience. And so we're providing them an opportunity not just to work with their military, but experience their culture. And that's something that's just invaluable. The other piece of that is that there's a realized cost savings. As we're over there doing that and preparing them and areas that we may need their support in the future, it's things that we won't have to do. So then there's a realized cost savings to not just Minnesota National Guard, but the federal government.
To the United States military, right. If you have to go on missions together. Mm-hmm. How big of a barrier is the language?
It's not. One of my favorite stories is when I was in Afghanistan, and I was talking with a Mongolian major on a weapon system. He was talking to his interpreter in Russian. He was talking to my interpreter in Dari, talking to me in English. So we had four primary languages, and it was never really a barrier. So it's something you have to train on, but it's not a stopper.
Sounds like you could have lost something in the translations there, sir.
I don't think we did.
So the practice was good, too.
It was great. Great opportunity.
So, Colonel, what do we have to show for this effort over 17 years and this partnership with Croatia?
I think the Minnesota National Guard soldiers and airmen get the opportunity to work with foreign militaries, relate to different cultures, and improve capabilities with the partner nation. Improving Croatia's capabilities has provided them the opportunity to get into NATO and European Union and co-deployments, as we talked about, with ISAF, the International Security Assistance Forces, in Afghanistan. When Croatia started providing soldiers to ISAF, that means U.S. soldiers didn't have to, and we've reduced our footprint and savings.
So, Colonel, mm-hmm. we're just about out of time. Sounds like a great program, and the OMLET teams did some wonderful work in Afghanistan, and you've got a lot of things to do under your job there as International Affairs Officer. Is this working? Is it worth the effort?
I think so. It's worth the effort in my taxpayer dollars and American lives.
So it's good for the Minnesota National Guard and it's good for the Croatian military.
Absolutely. They increase their capability and we decrease our financial commitment.
Colonel, sounds like you've got a fascinating position with the Minnesota National Guard, and I'd like to thank you for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
I enjoy it. Thank you for having me.
That was Lieutenant Colonel Guy Konitsko, the International Affairs Officer from the Minnesota National Guard. We have to take a short break, but when we come back, we'll discover one of the state's largest yellow ribbon companies. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. An Army squad is made up of 8 soldiers, and when the squad is on patrol, each soldier is dependent on each other for safety. When a soldier is distracted because of a financial crisis with the family back home, that puts every soldier on the squad at risk. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation helps turn a bad situation into a positive one. The foundation provides financial support during a financial crisis at home. This helps re-energize the soldier. The soldier feels the financial burden lifted and has feelings of pride because of the support from the community at home. When the soldier is no longer focused on the financial crisis at home, the soldier is able to stay engaged in the mission and do his duty to protect other soldiers in the squad. When we help one soldier, we're helping all soldiers. When we help one military family, we're helping all military families. If you're in a position to help, please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to meet with Wells Fargo and talk about their becoming a yellow ribbon company. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly message from the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Larry Shalito.
I am honored to be with you this week as we prepare to celebrate Veterans Day across the state and nation. Veterans Day is truly a day to celebrate. General Patton expressed it best when he said, "Let me not mourn the men who have died fighting, but rather let me be glad that such heroes have lived." In Minnesota, we have approximately 370,000 veterans from all walks of life, from World War II to those currently serving. These brave men and women are part of us, the grandparent who served in World War II, the neighbor who fought in Korea, the friend who slogged through the rice paddies of Vietnam, and the sons and daughters who even now are serving in the Middle East. Tomorrow, we will celebrate humble men and women who understand the call of duty, the meaning of honor, and the values in this nation. They did not serve for fame or glory. They serve to preserve our way of life. For this, we honor them as America's first citizens. Every single American has been affected by the service of a veteran. It is because of our veterans who defended our country and embody its purpose and vision that we continue to be a prosperous and free nation. To our veterans listening, on behalf of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, it is my honor and privilege to say thank you and let you know we appreciate your service and honor you for the sacrifices you have made.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Muffy Gabler, Senior Vice President from Wells Fargo. Muffy, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hello, Tom.
Muffy, can you tell me how long have you been with Wells Fargo?
Well, I'm going on 20 years at Wells Fargo.
And your present position, what do you do over there?
Well, I'm a community relations manager. One of the programs, though, that I manage across the company is our military affairs program, of which Wells Fargo is extremely proud.
And Muffy, I understand that recently Wells Fargo was proclaimed as a yellow ribbon company in Minnesota by the governor and the adjutant general. Can you tell us about that process?
Yes, sure, Tom. It was very exciting for us to become a yellow ribbon company. And it's really been through the effective efforts of our Wells Fargo veteran team member network. We call employees team members, and they were instrumental to gaining this prestigious recognition. There have been numerous efforts by Wells Fargo and our team members, especially our veterans, in outreach, military banking, job recruiting, volunteer activities, and family support for Wells Fargo team members serving in the military and giving their time and service to our country. This network of veterans has more than 3,600 team members across the company and more than 140 members in Minnesota. And it really is through the efforts of our veteran team members that we gained this prestigious award.
Muffy, how long did the process take to be approved and become proclaimed?
Well, Tom, the application is actually quite extensive, and it took several months to make sure we could address all of the questions and that the state has when you become a yellow ribbon company. You may know there are many areas, key areas in the application that a company has to show how they're supporting veterans and their families. Everything from company leadership, our recruiting policies and procedures, our training and development, our community outreach and support, and employee outreach and support.
Muffy, I'm looking at a copy of that of the application. It is a lot of pages. You must have had support all the way up to the top at Wells Fargo to do this.
Oh, we definitely have support all the way up to our CEO, John Stumpf, who happens to be from Minnesota. And our company is very supportive of veterans and deployed veterans and their families. So I'm proud to represent the program.
So what type of things do you think Wells Fargo is going to be doing in the future as a Yellow Ribbon company to help our Minnesota military service members and their families?
Well, you know, our military program at Wells Fargo has three pillars, Tom: housing, financial education, and employment. And so under those pillars, all of those are actually addressed in the application. The most recent program that we announced was hands-on banking, which is a financial education program specifically for military members. And we're working with nonprofits all over the country to deploy that program into our communities, especially to veterans.
Well, it's great to have Wells Fargo as one of our Yellow Ribbon companies. We're speaking with Muffy Gabler, Senior Vice President of Wells Fargo, on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Muffy, joining us right now is retired Colonel Dino Saracino. Colonel, are you on the line?
I am, Tom.
Sir, can you tell us just a little bit about your military career?
I sure will. First, thanks for having me giving me this wonderful opportunity to talk about Homes on the Home Front and Operation Home Front. I served 25 years in the Army, came up all the way from second lieutenant to colonel. Most of the time spent in special operations, psychological operations, and civil affairs, had multiple combat deployments away from the family. Was lucky enough to be able to come to Texas for my last assignment, and had an opportunity to come to work with Operation Homefront. So retired, came on board as the Vice President of Programs for Operation Homefront last April.
And, sir, can you tell us a little bit about Operation Homefront and what they do?
I would love to. Operation Homefront is a nonprofit that supports the service members, their families, post 9/11 wounded, ill, and injured in most of our programs, with one exception, the Home on the Homefront program, which I'll discuss in a few minutes. That is open to veterans of all era. Our cornerstone program that we really work hard in order to support is our emergency financial services. And that program provides assistance to post 9/11 veterans, service members, their families, and wounded, ill, and injured. Oftentimes, these families have no one nearby to turn to in times of crisis, and we feel that need in helping bridge that gap for that financial emergencies. Areas that we focus a lot on are rent and mortgage, utilities, housing items, auto repair payments, and counseling and support groups. We also work on all those type areas. So work really hard in order to provide that. It's all grants, so once those service members and veterans receive that money, they do never have to worry about paying it back.
Colonel, sounds like you went from commanding the troops to being officially retired, but still taking care of the troops.
Oh, that's exactly what it was. And I mean, it was just a blessing to be able to leave doing what I love doing in the military, and then staying close enough to the military to where I can support and focus primarily on our young veterans, our E6 and below, really are the ones that sometimes need the most assistance.
And Colonel, how did you get the chance to team up with Wells Fargo here in Minnesota?
Through our Homes on the Homefront program, thanks to Wells Fargo, we're able to provide homes mortgage-free to veterans, and again, veterans of all era, and we were just blessed to be able to match a home with the Abley family there in Minnesota. Jeremy is a Army National Guardsman from Minnesota, has a long history of military service within his family, and is just great family. Him and his wife Allison have done a great job with their three kids. And we were able to get there thanks to the help of our donor, Wells Fargo, to get up there and match Jeremy and his family with that beautiful home.
Colonel, we're going to talk about that just a little more, but we have to take a short break. We're speaking with Muffy Gabler, Senior Vice President of Wells Fargo, and retired Colonel Dino Saracino on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Muffy Gabler, Senior Vice President of Wells Fargo, and retired Colonel Dino Saracino with Operation Homefront. Muffy, I wanted to come back to you and talk a little bit about Wells Fargo. Now, we've got a program here where you cooperated with Operation Homefront and donated, or in the process of giving a house to Sergeant Jeremy Abley. Where did the house come from? How does this all fit with Wells Fargo? Can you tell me how this works?
Sure, Tom. Be happy to. So we, as a large lender, also from time to time have excess real estate that we look to donate to communities throughout the country. And as the soldiers were coming back from the wars, we got in touch with Operation Homefront to talk about donating some of our excess property to wounded soldiers that might need help. And so Operation Homefront, what's great about them and why we picked them is that they don't simply turn over the keys to these homes to soldiers. They really support them and their families, make sure they're prepared to own their home. And that's one of the big reasons we love working with them. And as a matter of fact, Tom, we've done over 65 donations to soldiers around the country. This happens to be the first one in Minnesota. We're happy about that, but very, very happy and honored to work with Operation Homefront.
And Colonel, can you tell us how this works with Sergeant Abley? Wells Fargo provides the home, and you work with Sergeant Abley and his family, and how long do they live in the home before they get title?
Yes, what we basically do with this is we have applicants that apply for certain homes in specific areas. I have a department of licensed social workers that then look at those type families, try to match the right family to the right home in the right area. One of the things we look for is the ability to maintain a support group, whether that's friends or family in the area. We want to ensure that we set these families up for success and not failure. So we bring them into the program. Our social workers actually then will pick the top 3 to 5 families for that specific house, and it goes to committee. Myself, our chief operating officer, and chief financial officer all sit on that committee. The social workers then bring it to us, provide us recommendation of the families. We choose a family, match them with the home. The social worker then stays with that family throughout the entire process to ensure that they are financially sound, that they learn how to manage a home, learn how to maintain a home. One of the interesting things we find, especially from our younger service members, they leave their mom and dad, they go into the service, they live in the barracks, or then live in an apartment after that, so they've never owned or knew how to maintain or manage a home. So we kind of run that all through that process with them. Our caseworker stays very close with that family. We ensure that they are successful and make sure that they are financially secure. And once that all occurs, anywhere from 6 months to 2 years, depending on the family, we then deed the home over to them free and clear.
Buffy, it sounds like you've got the right organization to help you with this program.
Well, we sure do, and we appreciate all of the work they do.
Colonel, your career has to have put you in a good position to understand our young service members and what they need and how to get them set up with these houses. What a program with Wells Fargo.
It is. It's very exciting, and it's just so neat to be able to go. When I was able to be up there with Jeremy and his family with the Wells Key Ceremony, and it's just so beautiful and just so heartwarming and just tugs at you to see these families who, you know, never thought they were going to ever be able to own a home or, you know, live the American dream, and then we're able to do this for them for the sacrifices that they did for our freedom.
Sir, we just got a few seconds left. Any final thoughts on Operation Homefront?
Yeah, Operation Homefront, anybody that's interested, if you're a service member in need or if you'd like to donate or even volunteer to assist us with our families and service members, you can go to operationhomefront.net, and everything you need to find will be right there for you.
Thank you, sir. Muffy, any final thoughts about Wells Fargo as a Yellow Ribbon company and this wonderful program to help some of our young service members and their families into homes?
Sure, Tom. You know, the one thing I want to emphasize is for anyone listening, please go to wellsfargo.com if you're a veteran and plug in careers and military. And we always have job openings around the country, including Minnesota. There are many tools on our website to help veterans translate their current military resumes into jobs that they might be able to apply for at our company. And as part of being a Yellow Ribbon Committee company, this employment is huge, Tom. So I would just encourage people to go out, look, and hopefully someday they'll be team members of Wells Fargo.
Muffy and Colonel, thank you both for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Tom.
This is Muffy Gabler, Senior Vice President of Wells Fargo, and retired Colonel Dino Saraceno from Operation Homefront. Joining me now is Todd Kubinski, the Scott County Veteran Service Officer and the past president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. Todd, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me.
For our listeners out there, we have a new feature starting today. Todd's going to join us once a month so that we can get an update on all the things that are going on with the County Veteran Service Officers in Minnesota. And Todd, there's at least one CVSO, County Veteran Service Officer, in every county, isn't there?
That is correct. All 87 counties have a County Veteran Service Officer. Some have more. A couple of counties even share one due to their veteran population. But it is our job to help every veteran weed through the red tape and the frustration of getting the benefits that they earned when they served.
Now, you've got a whole list of resources available, and you make it your business, and so do the other County Veteran Service Officers, to know every possible way to help our veterans, don't you?
Yeah, we certainly do our best. And as most people know, there are a large number of different programs, services, groups. It's hard to kind of tell who is who, so it's really up to us to find the proper fit in order for the veteran to obtain the best situation that they can.
So for all our veterans in Minnesota, if you haven't met your County Veteran Service Officer, you should get your DD-214, your discharge form, call up, make an appointment, stop in, meet your local County Veteran Service Officer.
Absolutely.
Now, they aren't going to be surprised by that, or they aren't going to kick them out, are they, Todd?
No, they will not. Anytime we get the word out that we are here, it's always a good thing. Our state was very progressive way back when, shortly after World War II, that they felt that there was a need for someone to help veterans because it's a bureaucracy, just like any other part of the federal government. There's ways to do things. There's ways not to do things. That's where we come in.
Now, Todd, everybody's read about the backlogs and claims all across the nation for our veterans. How are we doing here in Minnesota?
Well, in Minnesota, we actually are, I believe we're leading the nation. In fact, it looks like our average claim time, this is average, is 112 and a half days, and that was in August of 2013. That's an incredible number. There was an article not too long ago. It showed Texas claims were averaging around 350 some odd days before adjudication. So our regional office is leading the nation, but that has caused what we think might be a problem here. And one of the reasons that we think that is that because we're doing it so fast, the VA central office in Washington, D.C. has directed to have claims that we call brokered claims sent to our regional office to be worked. Unfortunately, what that does is, since it's backlogged, and these are claims that are over a year, almost 2 years pending, they are going to get priority over the claims that are pending from our Minnesota veterans to our regional office. The latest word that we heard is that if a Minnesota claim has less than 185 days pending on it, that it's not to be worked until this brokered work is done.
So what do we do about that if you're a veteran in Minnesota and you've got a claim pending and you've got a financial emergency?
If you're in a bind and you have it's a financial burden and you're imminent for homelessness or whatever the case may be, get a hold of your County Veteran Service Officer. We can contact a few people, let them know about the urgency of the claim, and if a delay would be a detriment, And we've been told that they would help work some things at the regional office to take those circumstances into consideration and possibly expedite those claims. But for everybody else out there, expect the delay. We are working as best we can. We're providing the VA with everything that we think they need to adjudicate. But it's all one VA according to the way they set it up, and they're helping out the rest of the country.
Todd, any final thoughts for listeners?
Yeah, if you haven't been in to see the CVSO, please get in and see them. If you go to macvso.org, there's a directory. It has all of our phone numbers on there, and most of us have our picture up there so you can see who you're talking to. And we will help you with whatever you need to get done, even if it means kind of looking outside of the realm of the VA. Our job here is to help the veteran, and that's what we do.
And we'll have a link to that website up on our Facebook. Go to Facebook and see Minnesota Military Radio, and the link will be there. Todd, thanks for joining us today. I look forward to talking to you each month in the coming year.
Sounds good, Tom. Thank you very much.
That was Todd Kubinski, the Scott County Veteran Service Officer, and he'll be back to talk to us on a regular basis. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Lieutenant Colonel Guy Konietzko, Muffy Gabler, and retired Colonel Dino Sorrentino, Todd Kubinski, Commissioner Larry Shelito, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we get an update on the progress in Afghanistan and look at the options for aging veterans here in Minnesota. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.